It will be different that they will be going, including Yan, so, wow. Daryl and Aaron, oh, that's 12. 12? Goodness me. Wow, okay. 12 disciples. Exactly 12. And, okay. Wonderful. All right. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Today is a special Sunday. We want to actually, I want to talk for a short time. And then we want to, only want to talk about half an hour, and we want to break into small groups and, you know, discuss about the Word of God and share, get to know each other, share, get to connect with one another with the Word of God. So I want to talk about Abraham and his journey of faith. Obviously, half an hour is inadequate to talk about it, but I want to just give some pointers about, you know, how Abraham walked with God, and it's just one element that I really want to emphasize. So let's turn to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read first 5 verses, and there are questions, so you will break into the group afterwards. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you will speak to us, you will talk to us, you will bring light and revelation, simple truth that we can apply in our hearts, Father God. So Holy Spirit, you will just underline the things, oh God, that are important to you and to your people, Lord. And I pray that you will breathe upon these words, that these words will be power, light, and life. Hallelujah. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Are you ready? You can read. What then, if you've got that, you can read with me. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Okay, amen. All right, now I want to talk to you about a very outstanding righteous man that lived on earth once upon a time. Outstanding righteous man. His name was Job. Is Job, he's still alive in heaven. And then he asked this question. He said, how can a mere man be right or be righteous before God? How can a moral human being get right with God or be right before God's eyes? How? And when he asked this question out of agony and pain, I don't think he would believe that there was an answer. How many believe? Feel, you know, how can a man, mere mortal man, be right with holy God? How? That's the question. And when you ask people, especially people in the church or people in any religion or people who believe in one God, when you ask the question, how can I get right with God? Because I've got some, not hopefully skeletons, but some dirty laundries in my closet, right? Hopefully not skeletons. But anyway, most people will give you answer in one of the following three. Some will say, okay, if you want to get right with God, be religious. Do all the religious duties, you know, attend all the things and, you know, do your duties and so on. Number two, some people will say, do a lot of good works. Go out and help the poor, give money, spend time, community work. Just make sure you do a lot of good work so that good works hopefully will outweigh your bad works. Third category of people will usually tell you that you gotta do both. You gotta be religious and do a lot of good works. Then one day hopefully your scale will tip so that your good works and your religion will outweigh your bad words, your sin, and your bad heart. That's the most people, and most people mountains, and then hopefully you will be right. And nobody keeps all 10. So most people then, how good is good enough? You ask them, how good is good enough? When can you have safety in your heart? When can you really rest in your heart that you are right with God? Most people will draw the line around 70 to 75%. If you keep 7 out of 10, you're pretty good. Nobody will say, I am perfect. But they will say, they will have to draw the line somewhere. And normally you ask them in the crowd like this, 60 to 70%, some will say 75%, and then you're in. Now, how good is good enough? Can you rest? How good are you? How good have you been this week, last week, week before? What about 74%? If you consider yourself 75, 76, 78, what about 74%? Will they be right with God? If you keep asking the question, you find that there is only one standard. You cannot have 70%, you cannot have 80%, you cannot have 90%, because you may be good today, next week you will be down at the dust. You just cannot have rest in your heart and confidence in your heart that you're right with God. There's only one standard, that's 100%. And when you really face that, you come to realization that your good works will never outweigh bad works. You will never be able to rest or have peace with God based on your good works or your religion, no matter how you try. In fact, your bad works don't outweigh good works. Bad works, sin, stays as sin as a stain. There's only one way to deal with it. Then how do we get right with God? So is it even possible? Of course it's possible. So Apostle Paul turns to a biblical person named Abraham. How many heard Abraham? Abraham walked with God. In fact, God chose Abraham and God blessed Abraham. God made Abraham to the reason for all God's heaven's blessing to come to humanity. When the curse and sin and death was spreading, God's solution was to choose a man and through him release all God's blessing, life, joy. And Abraham was called, he was right with God. And in fact, he's the only person in the Old Testament, God calls him my friend. God called Abraham his friend. So how did Abraham become God's friend? How did Abraham become right with God? That is the question, isn't it? So how did he get right with God? We look at, we just read, was Abraham religious? Did Abraham do a lot of good works? Not at the beginning. Towards the end, yes, he was. He offered God sacrifices, and so he did a lot of good. He prayed, but not at the beginning. He was just a normal guy. What was the difference that made God say, Abraham, you're right with me? Even though Abraham was just a normal person, and we just read it in the text there today, see, what happened with Abraham and God is that one day God called Abraham out of his tent and he said, come up, Abraham, look at all the stars in the sky because I give you a promise, Abraham. I will give you, this is from Genesis 15, God brought Abraham's son and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you're able to number them, and he said to them, so shall your descendants be. Can you imagine in the wilderness, there was no light, no cities? In the night sky, when you go out to the wilderness, or out, you know, to where there's no light, the sky just opens up, especially in dry places. You see, and scientists say that naked eye, without telescope, can count about 5,000 to 6,000 stars at any given night. So can you imagine God is saying, Abraham, Abraham is pretty old. When God called him out, you count them, Abraham? If you can count them, your descendants will be as many as those stars. So we say 1, 2, 3, 101, 312, 518. God is saying, okay, all right. You can't count them. Your descendants will be as many as them. And Abraham's old. So if Sarah is not far behind, would you believe? What would you do? Abraham probably is about in his 80s. Sarah probably in her 70s. You know? Childless, no children, no natural children. There's no way of naturally having children now. What if? Now here. For example, Eddie, you're not 80, I know. What if you're driving out, you know? I'll give you children, Eddie. Sonia, what if faith without works is dead. So what would you do? What would you do? Would you believe God and His word? Would you? He did. Okay, God, I can't see it happening, but if you say it to me, I'm going to believe you because you are faithful. Then, when Abraham said that, he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it, that is his faith, to Abraham for righteousness. That's literally what the Old Testament scripture says. Yeah, maybe this abuse. So, faith actually made God very, very happy. And when Abraham believed, God did something supernatural. From Abraham's life, there's a lot of, you know, accounting. God called Abraham to count. And God said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you children. When God spoke that word, Abraham believed that word. Okay, as many as I can count and more, that will be my children, I believe. When he believed, God actually put into account of Abraham, accounting term, his righteousness. There is the two lines, all the red, of all the sin, all the mistakes, all the problem, all the imperfections, all of them got wiped out. And then God put in his account, okay, I'm always right. My righteousness, I put it into account as a gift. And from then on, between Abraham and God, there was no problem. There was open relationship. There was no hostility. There was a friendship. And there was a blessing. Okay? That's what happened. So Abraham believed God, Abraham, more precisely, believed God's words. And that's, you see, when you believe God, when God speaks to you, when you believe God, that belief, that faith, God spells it into your account as righteousness, your righteousness. You're not perfect, but you take my word and take it into your heart and believe all your heart, then I'm going to put into you something that you don't have. Faith is spelled as righteousness. When you believe God and take God His word, God gives you, credits to you, righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Saying that you are in the right relationship with me because you believe. How many of you, if your children do not believe your words, do not believe your promises, do not believe your love, doubts all the time. How is that relationship going to work? Not work, right? Say, if you say to your child, I love you. I really love you. That's why I behind you. The moment I, you know, laid my eyes on you, I loved you. And whatever is mine is yours. I'm here for you. Suppose your child says, no, it's all lie. No, I don't believe you. How is it going to affect your heart? It's going to break the relationship, isn't it? It's impossible. trust, faith is so important. And that's faith pleases God. If God speaks to you something today, would you believe? If God says, you know, if God says, Sean, I'm gonna bless you, I'm gonna walk with you, I'm gonna make a new life, I'm gonna begin a new world, it'll be a new season, I'll honor you, would you believe? God says, I've got a plan for you, I'm gonna bless you, I'm gonna be with you, I'll never with you, leave you. Do you believe? See, that puts you in the right relationship with God. Whereas if you say, you know what, it's just a religion, that you have no relationship with God. So faith pleases God when God speaks. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, this is the argument. This is the truth. Apostle Paul is saying, throughout all human history, no human being had ever become right with God apart from faith. No one became holier by trying hard to be holy in their own strength. No one. There was no man in human history that had right relationship with God apart from faith, because they are so good. No one. In fact, every single person in the Bible, every holy man and woman of God, could walk with God, become holy, be friends with God, hear God's voice, receive God's blessing, and fulfill God's purpose by faith, by trusting God and believing God and His Word. That's the only way. If that is the only way, and that's true, Abraham did it that way, Moses did it that way, every single person who became holy and right with God did it by believing God and His Word, then argument is that whether you're a religious person, non-religious person, whether you're a Jewish person born with Jewish laws, whether you're non-Jewish, whether you did a lot of good works or if you done zero works, it makes no difference. Anybody can believe. You can believe God's word. Is that right? Someone who's lived a terrible life can also believe God's word when God says, I love you. And I'll be with you. I'll change you. I'll make a blessing out of you. If you believe God's word, you become right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, your good works, based on your effort, whether you succeed or fail, all of you fail, how miserably you fail. In fact, I give you a truth is, how you try in your own strength, the faster you fail. I won't get into too much detail, right? But this is it. Anyone can be right with God right now, at this moment, if you believe. That's amazing, isn't it? God invites all human beings, be right with God. I'll tell you, I'll speak to you. If you take me at my word, you'll be right with God. So that is the faith. Okay, now, turn to verse 17 to 22. I'm going to skip a lot of stuff here because, you know, it's just, if you're not in the study, it's a bit too much. I just pick out bits and pieces. Verse 17 talks about that Abraham's life, how God evaluates his life. He says, it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and all those things which do not exist as though they be, who contrary to in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this is how God evaluates Abraham. Abraham says, Abraham, what God spoke to Abraham was very unbelievable. Unbelievable. At the age of 75, God told himself, I'm going to make you father of many nations. He's now 80s, 90s, and so on. Still no child, but the Bible says, Abraham kept believing, unwavering in faith. We're unwavering. Now, let me ask you, when you read Old Testament, did Abraham's faith waver or not waver? Waver. Okay, so in the 80s and then so on, you know, 85, you know, he decided, okay, I've waited so long, nothing's happening. I might as well do something to help God. So he got Hagar, and then he begot Ishmael, which became a big family problem. Later on, they had to cast out the child and so on. Is that wavering or not wavering? What about he almost passed his wife over to Abimelech, you know, as like sister, so that he will survive. You know? This is after God told him, I call you righteous, you're right with me. Is it wavering or not wavering? It's wavering. But why is the Bible calling it not wavering? It's because of God's gracious editorial work on our life. Net result of Abraham's walk was, at times it was going up and down, but he was gaining, he was growing in trust and faith in God. Through what's at all, mistakes or no mistakes. So how it works is this. So long as you believe in God and His love and goodness, His gospel, faith, even when you make mistakes, is still accounted to you as righteousness. You still have access to God. You still can walk right with God, and you still can come under the blessing of God. Now let me qualify this. When God did not condone, approve all Abraham's mistakes and sins and failures, right? But God was still with Abraham to deliver him because he was a friend of Abraham. And Abraham grew in faith and grew in holiness. In time. How many think that's workable? That's wonderful. Because if God says, okay, I give you righteousness now, if you fail, you're out. How many will make it? No. So when the bottom drops out, when you are on the test, when you feel your faith is weak, or when you are disappointed in yourself, what are you going to do? Hold on to your faith. Don't let it go. Hold on to your faith because faith is still accounted to you as righteousness. That's the rock wall. Your relationship with God is good, then problems will not overcome you. If your relationship is good, tough times will come and go. Hallelujah. But, you know, tough people in God, they will outlive tough times. And God's promise will be fulfilled. So, at 99 later, in fact, God appears to Abraham and says, I change your name. You're ready, and I'm ready. I'm going to do a miracle. God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Abram is father of exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. That's how you and I, coming from America, Australia, you know, Sri Lanka, you know, wherever, everywhere, Israel, and everywhere. We all can say Abraham is our father of our faith. Abraham became father of us all. Now, let me tell you, five stages of Abraham's walk is that, number one, Abraham accepted God's promise by faith alone, without any evidence. You stay in faith? We've got to stay in faith. He recognized, number two, he was incapable of producing promised seed, promised result. He couldn't. Number three, he focused on the promise without wavering. Editorial.
And this was reckoned gifted to Abraham as righteousness. And then number four, he and Sarah both received supernatural life in their bodies. Both Abraham and Sarah. 99, when Sarah, Isaac was born, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. They both received supernatural strength, and they received, number five, the promise. God's promise was fulfilled, and God was glorified. So, that's Abraham's word. Now then what do we need to believe like Abraham so that we can be sure that into your account, God says, I put my righteousness, you're right with me. You certainly be saved. Heaven is your home. It doesn't matter if you've done good or bad. We all know that we are sinners. We all fail being holy and being right. But how can we know for sure that God gives us gift of salvation and righteousness? Now let's read the rest of the verses. He says this in verse 23, Romans 4. Now it was written, let's read together, okay? It was written not for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him or given to him as a gift, that salvation. Verse 24, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. So what do you believe? You believe that God loves us. The love of God brought himself, the Son of God, down to earth as one of us. And Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, Son of God, really bled for me, for my sin, because of my offenses. Really died, buried, was buried for 3 days, lifeless. But on the third day, he was raised again. So that his righteousness can be given, imputed, imparted to us as a gift. That we know for sure we can rest. That we are right with God. You have peace with God. God is at peace with you. Not because you try, but because you believe God's goodness and what God has done. See, Abraham had to believe two miracles. First miracle was supernatural birth of his promised seed, Isaac. Supernatural birth. But his faith was completed when he had to offer up his son Isaac to God as a sacrifice, which is called worship. But why he did it? Because the Bible says here, he believed God would raise Son from the dead. That's what he believed. God is a good God. God will raise him from the dead. That's what he believed. Abraham had to believe supernatural birth and supernatural resurrection of his son. Looking forward to the ultimate cross. In fact, the place where Abraham sacrificed is the same place where Jesus bled. Now, Jesus Christ is the ultimate promise of the seed of Abraham. What we do is, 2,000 years later, Abraham was 2,000 years before the cross, we are 2,000 years after the cross, we look back and believe the same thing. God's final demonstration of his love for you, ultimate clear demonstration of his love for you, is sons. Coming into his world as a human being. And then we seal that faith by believing that Jesus died for my sin and was raised on the third day for my righteousness. Do you believe this? You believe in all your heart. That when you believe that, instantly, you're right with God. Like this. All your sins, all the red ink on your tablet, all the sin is wiped out, instantly removed. More than that, God deposits into you, He's saying, I put you right with me. I give you special righteousness. With it, we have peace with God. When you have peace with God, you have peace with life. You have peace with circumstances. We have peace within yourself. You begin to have joy. And begin to walk in the call of God as God called us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let me give you three facts about grace. Grace begins when human ability ends. When you cannot save yourself, when you know I cannot do it, I'm not good enough, and quit being trying to put on something, saying, I need you. Then God's grace begins. God's grace is received by faith alone. And then God's, the faith always, always glorifies God. Okay? I'm going to stop here. I haven't finished it, but I'm going to stop here. Because also, when you are saved, all of us have a call of God in our lives. How do you fulfill the call of God in your life? Same thing. Faith. When God has spoken to you a promise, do you believe? Or do you just give up? It's too hard. I don't think so. No. Apostle Paul said this, we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Because faith, Jesus, pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to just say these words of prayer. You can say with me. Father God, thank you, Lord. You know. And I know that I'm a sinner. But I believe today. According to your word, that you love me. You love me enough to send your own son to die in my place for my sin. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead so that I can be right. I can be right. Thank you for your grace. I believe in all my heart. Jesus died for my sin. And he rose from the dead. Jesus is my Lord, and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, give the Lord a hand.
Well,